Well, let's turn on our Bibles this morning. I'm going to continue on this subject of faith. You can't really talk enough, I think, between what is the end of 1 Corinthians 13, the very last verse. He said that these things, faith, hope, and charity. I think those things are faith, hope, and love. Those three things you cannot talk enough about. You can't share enough about the Word of God. If you just centered in around those things, you do all right. And but let's turn over to Matthew chapter 9, and right around verse 27, we've been looking at this particular scripture verse in Mark 9. And I want to look at, been kind of walking through this, looking at scripture that pertains not only to examples, but I want to look a little bit today about our words that we speak and confession and things that we say. I know we've been touching on it a little bit. We were talking last week about, or the week before, Proverbs chapter 4. And but I want to look a little more in depth on this. This is something that's been, I won't say dear to me, but it was something that I focused on as a young Christian. Words. I don't know why that was, but it just was. I was very keyed in on words. And I remember the very first article that I read as a Christian was an article written by Kenneth E. Hagin on the subject of words and the significance of the words that we speak. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so you can go over and walk through Genesis chapter 1 and you can see God said, God said, God said, and there was. There was light. And he spoke and this happened. And he spoke and this happened. Well, we're made in the image and likeness of God. We're not creating worlds, but we are creating something. We're impacting something when we speak. And so it's important that we look at just what are we doing with our words? What is the significance of the things that we say? And then again, we're looking at all of this in the context of, be it unto you according to your faith. And faith's expression is what you say. Because faith comes from the heart, not your head. You know, when you think about it, When people love, whether it's loving, whether it's loving a plate of food you like, right, or loving an individual, when you love something from your heart, you do something. You don't just think about it. You know, how would that be? It says God so loved the world that he said, praise the Lord, just do the best you can. No, he didn't. It said, for God so loved the world that he did what? He sent his only begotten son. He did something. So love does something. And so it's the same thing. Faith, if it's true biblical faith, faith without what? Works, James 2:17, faith without works is dead. That means it's being by itself. So faith has to do something, otherwise it's just not faith. It's not the God kind of faith. It's just something you'd like to do. It's hope, really. So faith, if it's the God kind of faith, it's going to do something. And in that doing, you usually, the first and primary way to express faith is through your words, what you say. So, you know, so we're going to look at that, and you can see through Jesus' ministry how he responded to what? To what people said. What people said, and he tried to locate them, because when he located what they said, it began to express what they believed. He'd say, what do you believe? So he didn't just jump off and do something. He wanted to locate, because God responds to faith. What does Hebrews 11:6 say? For without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must do what? Just hope he's going to do something. No, it says, must believe that he is, and then if you believe that he is, he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So he will respond to faith. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Possible what? Why is it possible? Because of faith. Because of faith. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. And here you know, we're not going to read all this account, but we know here that Jesus, when he went, he came from across the Sea of Galilee, and it says here at the beginning of the chapter, we know all of these accounts here. He healed the man with palsy, and then from that point, you know, we read that Jairus came to him. And he was going to go to heal Jairus's daughter. And then on the way, the woman with the issue of blood came and was healed. There was one account after another. And after he raised Jairus's dead her daughter, which had died, then he left that house. And then there were two blind men, and it said that they were following him, as it says here. And Jesus departed thence. Where did he depart? He departed out of Jairus' house. He had just raised the daughter from the dead. And I'm sure these two men figured, look, he just raised a girl from the dead. What are blind eyes compared to that? So they just saw something. They heard something. I'm sure that there was a whole lot of what you would call commotion that was going on after he just raised a girl from the dead. So they heard something. These two blind men had to have heard something. And faith was there, and that's what it says. They followed, and that word followed in the Greek means in a determined, purposeful manner. They were going to get something. They weren't just kind of lollygagging, and it says they followed. I mean, that's like somebody's going to get something. I'm getting this. And then they followed with a determined, purposeful manner, and it also says followed crying. And it's so that word, crying and saying something. And that word crying means to express, it means to shout at the top of one's lungs. They were making some noise. And they were determined and screaming and carrying on. That's why if you follow this through the, I don't read Greek, but a Greek scholar expressed this, that this wasn't just, you know, lollygag. They were making some noise. And they were determined to get something. And it's interesting, when you read this account, Jesus never stopped. He didn't say, what's all the noise? He just kept going to his next destination. He didn't even stop. Somebody might say, well, that's uncaring. But think about it, the woman with the issue of blood, he said, who touched me? So here, it says that he was come into the house and the blind men came in. They just marched right in. They were going to get something. They weren't asking for permission to go into the house. They marched in. And what was the first thing that Jesus said unto them? Believe ye that I am able to do this. So he's trying to locate their faith. He's asking them. What are we saying here? Faith's confession. This is something somebody said. A minister said this: faith's confession creates realities. Faith's confessions create realities. And so what was Jesus doing? He said, okay, boys, what do you believe? And they said, can I do this? He said, yea, Lord. And then what happened? Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it. Yes. According to your faith, be it. What does that mean? Their faith activated the power of God. Their confession of faith activated the power of God. Or you could say it turned the switch on. You know, it's interesting. You know, we have electricity in this room. And I could go over here and I could do this. I'll just do this for an example. We'll go over here and we'll sit in the dark here for a second, right? So all the lights are out. But we have electricity in this room. The power of God is present to heal. The power is here to turn the lights on. The power's here. Lord, I just wish the lights would come on. I really wish. Thank you, Jesus. I pray. I'm praying for the lights to come on. You got to do something. You got to come over here and hit the switch. What's the switch? The switch is the power of God. Your faith activates that. But we could sit in the dark hoping that the lights come on. And that's exactly what Jesus did. These men came in, he said, am I able to do this? Yes, Lord. Be it unto you according to your faith. Hallelujah. It was just like the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I shall be, not hoping to. She heard something about Jesus and she said, if I touch his garment, I'm going to be made whole. What did she base that on? She based that on something she heard Jesus say. And that's no different today. Hold your Bible up. Hold your phone up, whatever you have. Say this. This is my Bible. And this is God speaking to me. That's what this Bible is. This Bible is God speaking to me. This is no different than if he were present here in the natural speaking to you. This is he speaking to you through this word. This word is forever settled in heaven. And so, if I read this in the book, then this is God speaking to me. I don't need anything else. I can take his word. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What is 1 John, Gospel of 1 John 5? It says, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what is his will? The word of God. He said he hears us. And verse 15, if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. Not we think so. We know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So if it's in this book and I pray it according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we got it. What is that? That's faith. And that's exactly what happened here. He located them. This verse 29, which says, according to your faith, be it unto you, the Message translation says, become what you believe. Become what you believe. The New Living Translation says, because of your faith, it will happen. Because of your faith, it will happen. So we don't receive from God just because of his ability. We don't receive from God just because it's his will. We don't receive from God just because of his power, or you could say his ability. What did Jesus say? According to your faith, be it unto you. So a lot of people are going without because they're not exercising their faith. and yet they're wondering, why isn't God responding? Because it's a matter of faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. So we receive according to our faith. According to your faith, you receive. Say that. I am a believer. I am not a doubter. I am a receiver. So let's turn over to Mark 9. We're looking at the significance of words spoken. You know, it always amazes me. You look at all of the motivational speakers out there and all the millions and billions of dollars that people spend going to meetings to get pumped up and to get motivated. And for the most part, they tell them, say this, I am a success. I believe in myself. I believe this. I believe this. What are you doing? You're doing the same thing. According to your faith, be it unto you. Mark chapter 9. And verse 22 and 23. And this was the father that brought his son that had a dumb spirit. And the disciples couldn't cast out the devil. And Jesus came along and upbraided them, or chastised them, you could say. And then he asked the father, how long has this been like this? And he said, since a child. In verse 22, it says, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, that sounds good, doesn't it? But you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. It sounds a lot of times some of the prayers that are prayed, Lord, if you can just do on something, he said, help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And most of the modern translations, this is what we've been reading from, the New Living Translation says, have mercy on us and help us if you can. And Jesus' response was, what do you mean if I can? This is verse 23. What do you mean if I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. So they're asking him, Lord, if you can just do anything, help us. And he said, what do you mean if I can? He said, all things are possible to them that believe. Be it unto you according to your faith, is really what he's saying. So here, Jesus' response really is saying, it's not up to me. It's not all up to me. He's flipping it. You see what I mean by that? They're saying, Lord, if you can just do something, help us. And he's saying, he's flipping the conversation and say, what do you mean if I can? It's up to you. It's up to you to believe. And when you believe, then I'll respond. My power will go into operation. And that's what Jesus is saying here. So faith is the determining factor here. Our faith is the determining factor, not God's power, not his will. Our faith is the determining key here. You know, you think about this, you know, I remember in college, I remember I had to take some, what you would call engineering school, you had to take preliminary, you know, you had to take, what do they call them, introductory things, or prerequisites, thank you. I had to think with that. You had to take prerequisites. So I had to take some chemistry, some mechanical engineering, I had to take all these other kind of things, I had to take some nuclear physics. I had to take a whole potpourri of stuff, right? So I remember in chemistry lab, you have components, and some of them are active, and some of them are inactive, right? But you take some of these components and put them together, boom, right? There's some combustion, right? And that's just exactly what we have. The power of God's present. It's inactive until faith is mixed. And then it's activated. The power of God is present always because he's here with us. But it's not active. What causes it to activate? Your faith. Hallelujah. And we need to remember that. Stop pleading with God. He's saying, look, I'm here. I'm ready to go. Draw from it. Hallelujah. How do you draw from that? Your faith. Your faith in God activates the power of God. So people sometimes are seeking answers from God, and sometimes, you know, they're not activating their faith in God or faith in what he's promised, right? So let's take a look. Let's go over to Luke chapter 17. Another familiar scripture verse here, or account. Luke 17. And let's take a look at verse 5. And here the apostles are saying unto the Lord, increase our faith. Sounds good, doesn't it? People do that today. Lord, I want more faith. I want this. Give me more faith. Give me more money. Give me more time. Give me more love. Give me more. Give me more. But isn't it interesting? This is what the verse 5, it says here, or I'll give you a good one. You're growing up. Mommy, I want more money. And mommy and daddy's response is what? Do something first, and then you get more money. Right? Am I saying it's true? You're not a piggy bank. You know, it's you know, I want. Give me more whatever, right? Give me more something. And they're saying, okay, do something for that something. And so here, look at verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And what was the Lord's response? He said, if you had faith. See, now what's interesting here is when the apostles said, increase our faith, they didn't say, Lord, give me faith. So they must have known they had faith. Because they're saying, increase our faith. So they must have known they had faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up from the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So here's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, if you want more faith, then you've got to do something. You've got to do what? Release your words. You've got to say to this, move, be plucked up and planted in the sea. You've got to release your faith through something that you're saying. It's the same thing. I want more time. I want more money. Use what you have. Some may pause there for a minute on that note of I want more money. I see some blank looks. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want more money, Lord. Give me more money. Increase my income. Okay. We've all heard Galatians 6, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to who? The sower, not the one that wants. He ministereth seed or increase or extra to the one that sows, and he both ministereth bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. So if you want increase in your money, you've got to sow something. You've got to give something. This is the point we're making here. You want increase, you're going to have to sow something. You want increase of strength. You know, a lot of times people are restricting themselves. It says, what does it say? Let the weak say, I'm weak. No, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. You want more strength, you've got to speak and say something. You've got to say, I'm strong. When you're weak. You know, we're always back to this again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, years ago, Charles Capps used to have this saying. He used to use this example. He said, if you want the dog, you call the dog. You know, you don't go to the door and you say, I'm not going to call the dog. He's not here. Right. That's the whole point. You call what's not there. You call the dog. You know, it seems silly, but you don't go, the dog's not there. I'm not going to call the dog because it's not there. Right. You want the dog, you call the dog. You want money, you call the money. You don't go, you know what? I'm not calling the money because it's not here. Right. You call those things that be not as though they were. You speak to those things that are not. Why would I believe for something that I already have? Why would I want something or call in something that I already have? If I have strength, why would I ask for strength? It makes no sense. You don't exercise faith for something you already have. If you want the dog, you call the dog. If you want strength, you call for strength. Faith activates the power of God. If you want money, you call money, but you've got to sow seed and plant seed in the ground. So this is what Jesus was saying. He said, increase our faith. And he said, if you had faith, you'd speak and say unto this sycamine tree. You'd call it. You'd speak to that thing that you don't have. See? And that's what Jesus is saying here. So you've got to, you know, where increase is concerned, you've got to speak to it. Or you could say what Jesus is saying, increase comes here. They're saying increase our faith. Your faith grows by using what you have. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, he didn't qualify it and say you need a lot. He just said, use the faith that you have as a grain of mustard seed. He didn't say you need it a lot. He just said, use what you have. So what do you need? You need mustard seed faith. What is that? Just a little bit. But you got to use it. How much faith do you need to touch your kidneys or your liver or your lungs to change them. How much faith do you need? Mustard seed faith. You can't just sit by and moan. You've got to speak to it and command it to change. How much do you need to change your money situation? Mustard seed faith. You need to speak to it. And this is what we're talking about. So you've got to use what you have. You must use the faith that you already have. And when you do, what happens? It's like turning that light switch on. The power of God's present to change that condition. But you've got to activate that power with what? Your faith. You've got to activate it. It's present to work in your behalf. But you've got to do something. You must activate it with your faith. Faith speaks. And this is what he's saying. He said, if you had faith, you'd speak. You'd say something. Let's just take a quick look. Here, jump over to Romans chapter 10. Just take a quick look at this. Romans chapter 10. And look at verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, where? Even in thy mouth, this is what we're talking about. And where? And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So the word must be in your heart and on your mouth and in your mouth. So when he says, if you had faith, you'd say, this is what he's talking about here. The word of faith must be in your heart and, as it says here, even in thy mouth. This is what will change things. This is what will change circumstances. So let's continuing. Let's go over to Mark 11. Mark 11, 22 and 23. These fundamentals, as I call them, are key in success in life. Mark 11, 22 and 23 and 24, it says, and Jesus answering, saith unto him, unto them. He's talking to Peter here. Peter's calling to his remembrance that he cursed the fig tree the day before. And he's saying, look, master, look what happened. And he's saying, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. And an interesting similar thing here as Luke 17. He's saying, now we're going to start talking about the faith of God here. Or faith in God, or it says, have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. We're talking about this heart and mouth connection here. Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that what is are being said shall come to pass. So you've got to have no doubt in your heart. You got to believe. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say shall come to pass. This says right here, you'll have whatsoever that you say. So confession is stating something that we believe. It is declaring something we know to be true. What's true? The word of God. So confession is stating something we know to be true, proclaiming a truth that we've accepted wholeheartedly. That means I believe this in my heart. I believe this, and I'm saying this, and I decree it to be so. I believe it. It shall come to pass. And so, primarily, this is why Brother Hagin, when he was alive, he said, focus on the epistles. Find out those scriptures that say in Christ, in whom, in him. And he said, when you find those, it will say who you are. And what you have. So this is why when we look at that, when I confess that, I'm saying what I have in Christ. And what he said I have. So, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm saying that, but it isn't so in my life. And so then one has to then have to ask a question, well, who's lying? Is it God or you? Because you'd have to come to that conclusion. If somebody says, well, this isn't so in my life, well, then you'd have to say, okay, well, wait a minute now. God said, I cannot lie. In Malachi, he said, he said in Titus, I can't lie. And then in Malachi, he said, I change not. And then in James, he said, he's without variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. So if he doesn't change and something's not working, then I've missed it somewhere. I'm not doing something properly. And that means you've got to just keep saying what he said. And most of the times, every one of us would have to agree with this. Because I've done this. I've started out with, as they say, you know, with all gusto. And then a year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by, and you go, well, maybe not. You missed it. Because if it's in his word, then you keep saying it. Because what ends up happening is your believing's changing. And then you start saying something different than what you originally believed. Which is exactly what I like the Johnson translation. It says that this is talking about Mark 11:22. Believe in your heart and doubt not those things in your heart, but believe the things that you say shall come to pass. This says here, does not become separated from the statement he makes. That's what happens. We start decreeing something that we believe in our heart, and then we become separated from that where we started from. And so, guess what? It doesn't come to pass. So we have to stick with that. Let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us do what? Hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without what? Wavering. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He will bring it to pass. What does the scripture say? He watches over his word to perform it. He will bring it to pass. And we are. What is our responsibility? Continue our profession of faith without what? Wavering. This is the Message translation. It says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Means we keep a firm grip on it. Keep saying what the scripture says. Keep saying it. I remember, you know, I share these things because they're real to me. And I remember years ago, I was not seeing the financial blessings as I thought that were promised in the scripture. Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And I was sowing, I started at 10%. And I had a heart to sow. And I was in a position to sow. And then I bumped it up to 20%. Then I bumped it up to 30%. 30% of my gross income. And I was not seeing the results. And this went on for years. And finally, I began to question in my heart, wait a minute, something's off here. What's not right? And I was mulling this around. I never spoke it. I never questioned the word. But I'm wondering, why am I not seeing the increase? Why am I not seeing it? There's nothing wrong with questioning something or pondering something. And I remember in a time of prayer, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. So he back to the same thing. According to your faith, be it unto you. So you can be dropping the money in, and you could put 50% of your money in. You could put 90% of your money in. But if you don't release faith, the power of God's not activated. It can't be. Be it unto you according to your faith. And so what happened was I began to then do what? Do just exactly what the Lord said, because he said it to me, the Holy Spirit said it to me in a way that I would understand. I was working my faith daily concerning my body and healing. Not that I was sick, but I would say constantly, I believe that my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. I would say every cell, every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God made it to function in. And I would say that all the time. I'd say I resist sickness and disease in my body. And I'd say this, and I made a habit of doing this. And what he said to me was, he said, look, if you'll do the same thing concerning your money, you'll get those results. You won't have room enough to contain it all. And so it wasn't his fault. The power's there to work on my behalf. But it wasn't being activated because I wasn't speaking with my mouth what I believed. I believed it, but I wasn't saying it. I wasn't activating my faith-filled words, which allowed him to then do what? Move on my behalf. This is what we're talking about. These are the principles. You know, if you can go through life doing good things and wondering, where's God? Is he in Jamaica? Where is he? You know, we talk about this in the book, but it's not working in my life. And the reason it's not working in your life is because you're not releasing faith-filled words. You want the best jobs, you want the best houses, you want the best car, you want the best things in life, begin to say so. Begin to say so. You want the you're going to college, you're going to school, you want the best opportunities, say so. Be it unto you according to your faith. Brother Hagin used to say it like this. He said, things, the blessings of God are not just going to fall on us like ripe cherries. That was his local colloquial way of saying it. He said, it's not just going to fall on us. We've got to take it by faith. We've got to receive it and speak words of faith. this is mine. I'm going to have this. This is exactly what those blind men, they heard something and saw something that Jesus did. Well, they were blind. They didn't see it, but they heard it. But they were going to have it. And that's exactly what we read in all these accounts, the woman with the issue of blood. Same thing, the centurion. He came and he said, you know, come and heal my servant. He said, Jesus, you don't need to come into my house. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He said, I'm a man under authority. I say go, and they go. He said, just speak it. That's what happened, see? And so we've got to take this word, get it what? In our heart. Faith comes, but then once faith comes, I've got to say something. Otherwise, it says faith without doing something is nothing. And this is what we're talking about. These principles right here. So an affirmation. This is what Titus says. He said, this is a faithful saying, Titus 3:8, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. We have to affirm something constantly. An affirmation is a statement of truth that you make firm by repetition. So if I affirm something, I'm doing it repetitively. What do? You affirm your love for your spouse. You say, well, I told you that when we got married. I told you I love you when you got married. Oh, really? You better affirm it constantly or there's going to be a problem. Right? So, right? Somebody's shaking their head. Yeah, I know. But you've heard some say, I told you I loved you when we got married. Yeah. That was 40 years ago, right? You better affirm constantly your love for God. You better affirm constantly that I'm a child of God. You better affirm constantly that I'm redeemed by His blood. You better affirm constantly who you are. Yes. That's what we're talking about. Yes. So you've got to say what you believe. You've got to affirm it. That's what Titus is saying. You've got to affirm that. I think I'm wrapping up here. But again, your confession, let me just say this. Your confession does two things. It locates what you believe. Your confession or your affirmation locates what you believe. And it also, this is what we were touching on last week, it sets the boundaries in your life. It sets boundaries in your life. So let me finish with this. Proverbs chapter 4, because we were sharing this week before here. Proverbs chapter 4, and let's just look at this as we close. There's actually a couple of scriptures, but let's look at this. As a start, and it says, my son, attend to my words, chapter 4, Proverbs 4, verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And some of the modern translations, the complete Jewish Bible says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. The New Century Version, it's a more modern translation, it says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. The Good News Translation, it says, be careful what you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. So the point in all of this was saying that when you look up this word issues, keep the heart with all diligence, talking about the heart, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of life. That word issues means borders or extremities. So borders and extremities are not determined from the outside. Borders and extremities are determined from the inside. What you think, what you say determines the borders in your life. What you do, where you go, what you have, those issues are determined from your heart, from the inside. So your confession affects your inside, your inner man. Again, faith never grows beyond your confession. Faith never grows beyond your confession of the Word of God. So we need to daily confess who the Father is to me, what Jesus is doing for me, and what the Holy Spirit is doing for me. What did Jesus say? He said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So we need to confess what we believe in the Word of God, and that what we believe is something that I desire. Let's look at one last scripture, Proverbs 18. We're there. Just jump over to Proverbs 18. Another familiar scripture verse. Verse 20, 21, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of what? His mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Some of the modern translations, it says, the tongue has the power over life and death. Those who indulge in it must eat its fruit. So if you speak words of lack and debt and doubt and unbelief and sickness and whatever, you'll eat the fruit thereof. You'll have it. But if you speak that I'm blessed, if you speak the word of God, you speak prosperity, you speak health, you speak blessings, then you will have it. You'll eat the fruit thereof. So don't say I can't. Don't say I won't have this. Don't say I can't do this. Find what the Word of God promises and speak that. Release your faith. Activate the power of God. Work with God's Word. Work with Him. Don't stand on the side against the blessings of God. So death and life are in the power of our tongue. Why don't we say that? Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and I choose life. Yes, sir, I choose life. I choose life. So looking at this, you know, when you look at these principles, as I call it, or fundamentals, you can see these in the accounts where the woman with the issue of blood was concerned, the centurion. You can look at all of these different accounts, the blind men. You can look at all of these where Jesus was looking at or trying to get them, what do they believe? Even with the centurion, he said, I haven't found faith so great in all of Israel. Great was his faith. He said, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Just speak the word. And what happened? It activated the power of God. He didn't have to be present. He just spoke the word. And so for us also the same. Those things that we face in life, the consequences and things that we face in life, get your words full of life. Speak those things and don't doubt the word of God. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt the things that you say, because the things that we say should be what God said. I'm thinking of another scripture. Uh, Well, I mean, through the scripture, you can see it in John, the first John, but it says, as he walked, we're supposed to walk the same way.
Yes.
Even as he walked, so should we. And so we should do what? Speak like he, act and conduct ourselves how? Like Jesus. You could say he was a prototype as to how we should walk, how we should live, how we should conduct ourselves. So if he spoke, what did he say to Peter? He said, look, if you do the same thing, you get the same results as I did. Think about what he did when he spoke to Peter. I didn't see any of those other jokers get out of the boat. They're the same ones that said, Lord, don't you care? We perish. So Jesus is walking on the water. And what did Peter say? Lord, is that you? He said, come. And Peter just jumped right up out of the boat. How many of you would have got out of the boat? I don't know. I had to think about that. I've been on the Sea of Galilee a few times. In a rainstorm and nice weather. And I'll tell you, you hop out of a boat in a storm and your faith, I mean, there had to have been something. When Jesus said, come, that wasn't just anybody. That was the master saying, come. And that word had to have instilled what? Faith in Peter to get out of the boat.
Yes.
Such that that word impacted him such that he got out of the boat.
Yeah.
And think about that. When he did, what did it do? It activated the power of God so that he could walk on the water. Which is what we're talking about.
Yes.
You've got to speak what you believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take, you know, I think one of the things that from the very beginning of this ministry, when Pastor Sarah and Clinton started in their house in 1980, they began to get, they created a list and they kept it on their refrigerator. And they started this list of things they wanted or desired. You know, a lot of it was ministry related. Some of it was personal. But they created this list. And they began to speak concerning that list. Father, we thank you. We receive it. It's like these principles, it's just calling in larger things. You know, when we say, okay, we call in $80,000 a week into the ministry. And they go, oh, that's a lot of money. Well, it takes a lot of money to run a ministry. You call in what? What you don't have. And that wasn't some number we just pulled out of the hat. The Holy Ghost told us that number. And so find out what God desires. You know, when Brother Hagin was alive, he said he was going down fast. He said they were in debt. He said there was a mess. He was in a mess. And he said he was applying the scriptures. He rose up off a deathbed by speaking to the disease and sickness in his body, and he was healed. But he said he never applied it to his finances. And he said it finally came to the place in a time of prayer. The Lord said, you're not doing this same thing over here in your finances. And he said it was like a revelation to him. He said, wow, we're not doing this. So back then, he got his family to agree. You know, he said, back then, you could preach all week. This is back in the 40s and 50s. He said, you could preach all week, two times a day. You would be lucky if you got $50 a week for all of your teaching. All that. You teach two times a day, five times or six times a week, and you maybe get $50 a week. And he said, but now we need a couple hundred dollars a month operating costs. Or I think he said a week, a couple hundred dollars a week. And so he said, that was impossible in the natural. What does it say? With man, it's impossible, but not with God. So he said they began to agree in prayer. The family did. We believe, we receive X amount this week for our resources. And he'd go into these places, and he said, I'd never tell the pastor. He said, what are you believing for? He said, he wouldn't tell him. Because he said, if I told him, he said he'd have the big one. Because he said, there's no way this congregation would ever give that amount of money. So he said, I'd never tell him. And he'd say, sure enough, the money would come in. See? So you've got to do what? Release your faith in words when it looks impossible. And it doesn't look possible. That's when you start getting God and working in your behalf. And it'll come to pass. I'm thinking about a deacon couple from Nanuet. They had three children. And this is years ago. Their children are grown out on their own. They started decreeing with their mouth. Because we were teaching these principles that we're teaching. They began to say as parents, we will never spend one dime for our children's college education. You might think, well, that's crazy. Well, they never paid one dime. And their children, two boys, went through West Point on whatever resources came in. And they began to say with their mouth, we will not spend one dime of our money getting their education. And supernaturally, resources came in. Grants and different things were made available. And their boys went to West Point. And one girl, she played a professional basketball overseas. Then came back. She went to undergrad school, graduate school. And now she went through Harvard. She's a lawyer in Washington, D.C. But the point I'm saying in all of that is you can have what you say. And you can enjoy the blessings of God or not, depending on what you will reach out and take. You can work three or four jobs if you want. You don't have to. You don't have to. I'll give you another story. A guy, a gentleman, this is way back when Brother Hagin first started the ministry. Young man, he was in his 20s or 30s. He had a little bit of money. I forget, it was maybe $400 or $500, something. It was a small amount of money. And he began to take these principles that we're talking about, believing God for prosperity and finances, and he began to take this money, and God began to lead him, and he became a very successful, as a young man, in real estate. And he, over the years, became a multi-millionaire with multiple jets that he would travel around in. Business jets, not tinker toy jets. I mean high-end jets. And he began to buy up property as the Lord led. And he became a multi-millionaire because he began to apply these principles. So, you know, as they say, the choice is yours. That's what God is doing. He's saying you can go this way or not. Amen? Praise God.